Balcony's first ever year-round bourbon was an inspiration. It all had to work together. A blend of carefully selected ingredients, Texas-sized pot stills, and creative people determined to find the absolute best way to usher a new whiskey along. When you discover how it pairs with a meaningful moment, suddenly the feeling of drinking great whiskey becomes a whole lot more.
Hey everybody, welcome to this week's episode of Whiskey Neat. Spirited conversations with interesting people. I'm your host, Christopher Hart. Today, as always, especially lately, man, we are killing it, knocking it out of the park with some really special guests. Not for you. I love you, and I hope you know that I love you. But I do this for me. Getting the opportunity to sit down across from a local, a legend in this industry that's been doing this for 40 plus years. John Witherspoon, Pops Witherspoon. And later we will be joined by Barry Laminack. Barry Laminack has a show here on ESPN. He's a local comedian. He featured for John Witherspoon this weekend at the Houston Improv. I've been dying to get Barry on the show. And of course, the incredible opportunity of sitting down with John Witherspoon was just something I could not pass up. I could not be more grateful. And getting to sit down with someone who has had such a animated career and iconic in many ways. The moment I announced that John was coming on the show, just boom, boom, boom. Every line he's ever said that was amazing. Every facial expression, just everything about him was just fantastic. So very honored to have John Witherspoon join us today. He is here in Houston this week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And he's just awesome. So without further ado, let's hit our sponsors here. This week's episode is brought to you by Balcony's. In 2008, Balcony's is nothing more than an idea driven by a passion to create something original and authentic. Focusing on ingredients and process, they breathe new life into hundreds of years of distilling traditions, earning them worldwide recognition for their whiskeys. Balcony's is the official sponsor of the show. I couldn't be a bigger fan of theirs. We just announced that for the first time ever, we will be doing a single barrel selection, maybe more than one, of Rumble Cask Reserve. Rumble Cask Reserve has long been one of my favorite things that Balcony's makes, and it is a nod whiskey made with honey and figs. Everything about that sounds amazing. So we will be doing a specific selection here soon and making it available statewide, as many as we can get out to stores that'll take it. And very excited for our new sponsorship with Balcony's. Much to come with them, but we'll get to that later. Whiskey Neat is supported by the Inspired Spirits at Glass Revan Ports and Amroot Distilleries. We love featuring Amroot whiskeys on the show. Amroot crafts single malt whiskey to the exacting standards of scotch. If you need proof, well, at this year's Proof Awards, Amroot Fusion whiskey received the double gold, 96 points in a blind tasting by 30 industry judges. Fusion also was declared World Whiskey of the Year at the Bartending Spirits Awards, awarding it 94 points and a gold medal. Bartenders are a pretty nice group to have support from, and Amroot appreciates that the great taste of Texas has become the number one consumer of this elixir of life, which is what Amroot means. Amroot means the elixir of life. So, as I've talked about many times, the number one radio show for spirits in the state of Texas is very humbly this show, and Amroot Distilleries, this is their number one market. So, couldn't be a bigger fan of Amroot. Couldn't be a bigger fan of Balcony's. All of our sponsors, we thank you guys. Houston Whiskey Social, guys, we're just a few months away. 5 months, 4 months. It's going to be fantastic. Lots in store, but I can't tell you about it just yet. We'll talk more in a few months. We've had some special shirts made in our conjunction with Balcony's. So you can go to whiskeymerch.com. Whiskeymerch.com, spelled whiskey with an E. We have our logoed branded shirts with Balcony's on the show. You can pick up those there. I think that pretty much covers everything. So we only have John Witherspoon for a short segment this time. You know, he's 77 years old, the hardest working man in this industry. And We had them for about 20 or so minutes. So the other half of the show is with local comedian and just absolute, I don't want to say hero of mine to blow smoke up his ass, but I love the guy. Barry Laminack. He is a local comedian. He opened for John this weekend. Couldn't be a bigger fan. So without further ado, and again, I'm empty. Hold on. We can't cheers. It's bad luck, guys, to cheers and not have something in the glass. So without further ado, John Witherspoon and Barry Laminack, cheers.
How you doing?
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I can't, as I'm pouring this, I got to tell you, I know you've been hearing this for decades,
but
You were such a part of my childhood.
Oh, everybody tell me that.
Everybody tell you that.
The movies and the TV shows.
Well, Wayne's Brothers was my first introduction to you.
Oh, really?
I was a little young for Friday at the time. My mom wouldn't let me watch it.
Yeah.
But and I know you're a wine drinker, so I figured I'd bust out some Cabernet.
Everybody need a little taste. Keep the whoop off your back.
Cheers. Very nice meeting you, John.
Good meeting you. That's a nice.
And that's Cabernet.
Cabernet Sauvignon.
So you've been doing this 40 years. Been married 30.
More than 40 years. Yeah.
Well, I knew you were a model.
Didn't last long.
Jack of all trades. You've done a little bit of everything.
Yeah, I was in commercials. I did all that stuff when I was, but you have to do that if you want to maintain. You know, I wish I could get commercials today, but my commercial agent said they have younger audiences.
Sure.
Which is great.
Well, I think you're still, I mean, don't undercut yourself. You're still completely, you're John Witherspoon.
Yeah.
I mean, Boondocks is probably the most, I would say, relevant crossover between old school and new school. I mean, the Boondocks is one of the most incredible shows ever, and your pops.
Granddad.
Yeah, granddad. I mean,
we're about to go back and reshoot that stuff.
I heard it's coming back.
I'll start work the 8th of October.
Are you excited?
Not really. Money ain't right.
Okay.
Money ain't right.
Trying to get there?
They had to go back and see how much more money they can get because the money was just like it was when I left.
Sure. And so things have changed.
Things have changed in everybody's life. I bought new stuff. Somebody got to pay for that.
Sure. And I don't know if this is talked about. I looked into a few of your interviews. I don't know if this is talked about often, but you've been married 31 years.
32. My wife always reminds me.
Well, I 88 was on the board. I wasn't sure if it was 31, 32, depending on what month.
Yeah, she always reminds me. It's 32, brother. I'm sorry.
That's got to be that's an achievement in and of itself. I mean, it's hard to be John Witherspoon and to be this major legend in the industry and be married for so long. To it really speaks to who you are as a person. I mean, that's fantastic.
She's putting up with me. She's put up with me all these years, and I put up with her.
Sure.
You know, plus we have our own agenda. That's what a person got to have. You can't be married and everybody just like this, you know. You go over here, they go over here, you go over here, you go over here.
You got your own life.
Yeah, I go here, come back in,
go over there. Well, she's got a lot going on. I mean, she's quite accomplished and in her own right. But you guys have been just like incredible. I mean, you told a story on the Joe Rogan podcast recently about spending time with Richard Pryor and Sammy Davis. Can't showed up and you guys were hanging out. I mean, just that life was just.
Rich used to have a party at his house every Sunday. He had about 100 people over there. And, for basketball, he wanted to box. He got a boxing gym. He had tennis court, swimming pool. And Sammy Davis would come every Sunday in a limousine and get out with a tuxedo on. Hey, man. Hey, man, like you ready to do a show. Sammy, it's time to relax. But he was a wonderful person.
He was always on. It was always Sammy.
On. Yeah. He had a tuxedo, boy. He's doing it. Got that tuxedo. Put that suit on. Got that suit all shiny and ready to go.
Sure. Well, and you're here in Houston for the next few days. You were here last night. I heard you guys sold out the crowd on a Thursday night.
Yeah,
it was insane.
And also, Houston has always been good to me.
Yeah?
Yeah. I sell a lot of tickets here.
Well, you've been doing, let's see, four days.
4 days, six shows.
Six shows. You'll be here through Sunday.
Through Sunday, yeah.
And your feature act, Barry will be here in a little bit to kind of relieve you.
Yeah, last night.
I heard you guys killed it. I heard it was a fantastic show.
Yeah.
And I heard you had a nice bottle of wine in your dressing room, in your green room.
Well, that's my writer. They got to have me some wine.
Got to have something.
And some fruit. I want a fruit tray, some wine, a Diet Coke, well, just Coca-Cola and water, and a lot of ice. A
lot of ice. So I know that Rogan kind of recently – briefly tried to push you into releasing that special you had recorded. Is there any update on that?
I got it. I ain't even looked at that thing. It's in my safe.
Yeah.
My stomach too big.
Well, I think your son, JD, was giving you a hard time about alcohol consumption. Just so you know, I can't speak to wine, but with whiskey, there's no fat, no carbs, no sodium. It's keto-friendly, so it's good for the stomach. Mm. If you ever make that switch, it might help with that problem.
No English. You can't speak.
Yeah, numbs the mouth.
What's your name?
Well, I got to say, you've got to be the hardest working. Are you 77 or 78?
77.
70, hardest working 77-year-old man.
I'm probably the hardest working. I think I'm the oldest comic on the road.
Yeah. Any plans to slow down?
No.
No, you like it, right?
I like that money. I was broke when I was a kid. We had 11 kids in my family.
Sure. And your name was different back then, right?
John Weatherspoon.
Well, Weatherspoon, and now it's Witherspoon.
Oh, half of my brother's name is Witherspoon. Half of them name of Weatherspoon.
Sure.
So they didn't care when you're born, they don't care. What's his name? Weather? I put down what I want.
Sure.
You don't pick your name. They pick them for you.
So you're in it for the grind.
Yeah.
Stay busy and keep going.
I want that paper. Where the camera at?
Yeah, right there.
Paper. Where that money at? That's why I'm going back to do the Boondocks. You know?
Well, and you did the, not too long ago, you did the Black Jesus series, and then you briefly did your cooking show, Cooking for Poor People on YouTube.
I got to go back and finish that.
You got to.
I'm off next week, so I'm going to do a show next week.
A shirtless John.
Yeah, no, don't need no shirt.
Yeah.
I'm there to cook. I ain't there to, if grease hit me, that's my problem.
Sure.
And it has hit me.
Well, I watched last night, I'm trying to convince my wife to make your Uncle Lou's chili.
Oh, yeah, he got some good chili.
The chili looked fantastic.
Oh, it was good. I make chili all the time. I drive people crazy. I love to make chicken noodle soup around the house and chili, and I have them all in the refrigerator. Ain't no room for nothing else but my soups.
Soups, yeah. What's your stance on broccoli and cheese?
Broccoli and cheese.
Yeah.
Soup?
Yeah.
You got some good soup.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Broccoli clam chowder?
Broccoli and mushrooms.
I've never had it.
You got to get it.
Yeah,
good.
I'm a big mushroom fan, especially at Asian restaurants.
Yeah. But when I come home, it's here we go again. So we get a chicken, you know, get them chickens in the market already cooked. This is my chicken noodle soup. I can tear the breasts off and chop it up and make some chicken noodle. That's real easy to make.
Sure. And I went through, you made hoe cakes. You got to cover it all your classics.
Oh, yeah. I made a whole cake, and I made chicken wings in my cooking show. Yeah, so I'm trying to think of something, and I will this weekend. I'll think of something, but I need a subject matter also, and I'll think about all of this weekend when I'm in the hotel.
And is JD taking care of all that for you?
No.
No, you got someone else?
Yeah, I got someone else. JD is so busy on his own.
He seems like a busy guy.
He's very busy. Yeah, he's plus he got married. So he's married a couple of years. One or two years.
Sure.
So he's making his own. He got his own money. That's Mr. Big Shot now.
Yeah.
Can't believe that. But he won't tell me how much he makes.
would your feelings be hurt if it was more than what Classic John's making?
But I don't know how much he make. He might make, you know, I'm gonna say that it's more than I'm making.
Sure. He might not want to tell you because
I
want to
be
mad.
I want to be mad. See,
it might be less than what you're making, so he doesn't want to talk about it.
Well, I don't care. I'm just tell me so you can pay me the money you owe me. What about the money you owe me?
The God. I can't wait till my son's that age. I've got a few kids myself, but they're still.
How many you got?
Four. Four. That's good. Two teenagers.
Oh, real? How old are you?
14, 13.
That's a good age.
It's okay. It's stressful age, and they're girls, so I'm freaking out inside.
Girls. Yeah. You got pretty, pretty too.
Yeah. Two boys. You got Alexander and Jenny.
Yeah, they're young. Yeah. Alexander was about 8 years younger than Alex, 8 or 9 years younger. Younger than JD. Yeah.
It's stressful, and I'm scared about the next 4 years, especially around that 18, 19.
Well, if they're nice kids, they you taught them well, they're not going to.
I'm still going to.
You'll be stressed out.
Well, I'm going to be stressed out, but I'm going to beat their ass if they're.
They might beat your ass.
I got a son who's four, so I'm waiting for that day.
He might beat your ass too.
He's already
he's four. You better be nice to him.
So what do you got coming up next? We have a pretty decent sized Texas audience. Where are you going next after Houston?
I leave. I'm off next week. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to shoot this cooking show. In my kitchen. I bought the house next to me, so that's why I shoot those shows at my house next door. Then I go to Richmond, Virginia.
Sure.
Then Jacksonville, Florida. And then I got about 11 more dates this
year. You kill
year,
it, man. This year. You're just working.
Oh, my God. You know, in January, my agents come by the house, and they give me my list of things I got to do that year. And they try to give me. 1 year is 46. I said, wait, but 52 weeks in a year? What do you want? You can't be. I'm not going to leave the house that much. Trying to kill me.
46 dates?
Dates, yeah. 46 weeks.
What's your goal? 30?
I'm going to go even less than that this year because I got other things to do. I'm going back to the Boondocks. I got 2 years on the Boondocks.
Well, last Friday's coming back too, yeah?
We're supposed to do Friday, and then I got to juggle these things.
Now, I know we briefly, in an interview previously, you talked about how Chris Tucker didn't come back previously. Do you think he'll come back for the reboot?
I don't know. You know, I saw him. I was in Central Pay 2 weeks ago. Matt Johnson had a 60th birthday party. So I went to France for about a month. He'd only had 4 days. My wife and I just stayed that long in France because we like France.
Sure. We'll be there next year.
Yeah, good. And I saw Chris Tucker there, and he said we're gonna see what the script looked like. That's what he said. He always say that. We can see what the script looked like.
I think it's still a big problem. I mean, I think most people who love videos they hate when they wait too long for a reboot. But I think Friday's got this. Still got this pull,
and they better do it because the actor's gonna die.
Well, and you, I mean, I know you're 77 years old.
Yeah.
You look very, very slightly different than you did in 95.
Oh, yeah. But Craig, the lines would be, Craig, come and help me change my diaper.
They're in the kitchen. Why are you always in the kitchen?
Yeah, every time I come in the kitchen, you in here eating up all the food. I've said that so many times.
Does it ever get tired? You ever get tired of it?
No, because I like the money it generates.
I thought I knew you well. Mm-hmm. I found a movie I hadn't seen that you were in it, and mm-hmm. I kind of hate myself that I hadn't seen it. It was Boomerang. So we've got
it. That was
a while back.
That was a while back. That the whole scene was ad-lib.
I heard the whole scene was ad-lib at dinner, and you talk about being you got to turn it around.
Yeah, they didn't know what I was going to say.
Sure.
I just told Eddie Murphy, just ask me how to pick my clothes. So it was a tough job. People don't understand what it takes to get to saying bang, 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 bang.
Sure.
And you got to coordinate.
And making it work.
They called me in L.A. This movie was shot in New York. And my agent called me and said, Eddie Murphy wants you to play David Allen Greer's father. And Boomerang, I didn't know anything about Boomerang. And I said, okay, when did they want me to work? They said, he wants you to come in this week and do it. I said, wow. I said, where is it at? They said, New York. I said, New York? What a script. No script. There's no script. He wants you to do everything. Just be me. How are you going to just be me? This got to be funny. And and David Allen Greer is like a banker type. You know, he's like an owner of a banker or a banker.
Sure.
And I was a country bumpkin. So I had to get on the airplane, fly all the way to New York. I had to go straight from the airport to the wardrobe department, pick out the outfit I want to wear, and then explain, and not explain, but then shoot the scene coming in the front door, being funny. And I got Bebe Massey-Drake, who was one of my great actresses that worked with me. So we got to embarrass David on the grill. That's the thing, the theme of it all. So I went, I wrote stuff as I was going to New York. Right now, what I'm gonna say? They didn't know what I'm gonna say. I didn't know what I was gonna say.
And they loved it. It was a huge hit.
Oh my god!
One of your most legendary lines. Do you realize that? I worry about trying to compliment people like yourself who've been doing this so long. You've been hearing compliments your whole life, but do you realize what it means to just trust you? And say you're such a legend. You come in, you say whatever you want to say. I'm not going to write for you. You got this, and I'll take whatever you got. And then you to bang out legendary lines like that.
And then when I was on Fresh Prince with Will Smith, he told all the writers and the cameraman, everybody, let Witherspoon do whatever he want to do.
Whatever he wants.
Now, that's tough for a TV show and you. Top 10 show talking about let me do what I want to do. What I want to do, y'all need to pay me some of that money what I want. But they want me to be me. So we had a wonderful time. Yeah. Well, on Will Smith. And also, and Fridays, all them Friday movies.
Sure.
We ad lib a lot.
Well, it was rumored you only got, everyone got paid $5,000 for the first one.
About $5,000 for the first one. We didn't work for New Line Cinema or Warner Bros. We worked for Ice Cube, and Ice Cube didn't have that much money.
And so for this new one, is the money right? You happy to?
Oh, the money better be right. That's why it's taking so long.
Sure. So it's not been.
They got to pay us. We got to get paid.
It's not a definite thing. Or it is happening?
Well, I don't know. The script is ready, and Cube talked to Warner Brothers all the time. Warner Brothers bought New Line Cinema. New Line Cinema owned Friday. Now that Warner Brothers owned Friday.
Sure.
They want to do it real bad. That's what he said to me. That's what they tell him.
Sure.
I don't know. If they want to do it real bad, we'd have had that money by now. Well, this check ain't signed. Who supposed to sign the check? Let me sign the damn check.
Okay. Well, I listen, I know we're short on time today. I'd love to keep you longer. I know you've got to go.
Are we done?
Well, we don't have to be, but I know
how the hell we finish so quick?
So typically the show's about an hour long.
But Joe Rogan was 2 hours almost.
Well, you could stay a little. You want to finish
your glass? Joe, come back. Help us.
You want to finish your glass of wine?
No, I don't want to finish. I'm going to get another couple more sips on it.
Okay.
I don't want to be drunk. What time is it? 10 o'clock in the morning?
It's about 10 o'clock in the morning. I will tell you this. There has only been one. We had some sports casters that came in here a while back.
Oh, really?
They saw four bottles. They wanted to drink all four bottles. They ended up drunk. But about 100 episodes or 85 episodes, we've never had anyone.
You're drunk.
We're very responsible. We try to be. It's all about.
I like to test one of these.
Yeah, yeah.
Which one is the best?
So it depends on what you like. You like sweets? You like sugar?
Yeah, all I know is I like, what's the name? Dewars. What is Dewars like?
Tomatin is an 18-year-old scotch, and in the past they were kind of known. You can just come into frame. Who cares? Tomatin is all honey. Tastes like you're drinking boozy honey.
How old is that one?
18 years old. You want to try this
one? How old is that one?
This one's young. This is a Texas whiskey, Balcones whiskey. It's a single malt.
I just want to take one little sip.
Okay.
To see how smooth the scotch is.
Okay, so let me do this. I feel like Tomatin's your go.
Okay, we'll see.
I wanted to ask you this too. You also talked about Chardonnay and red and white wine. What's your favorite?
They're both. I drink them both.
No preference.
Sometimes I drink a whole bottle of Chardonnay, then I drink a whole bottle of Merlot.
And one.
I'm the tester.
Sure. In one night?
What they want. You know, one night, maybe 2 hours.
Oh,
No.
You know, Bert Kreischer? Oh, I wanted to ask you about Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, what about?
He's talking about releasing a special.
Damn. That stuff will kill you.
You got to
strong.
You got to sip slightly and let it numb the mouth a little bit for you.
Numb my mouth. I'm already numb. I hope I can talk now. That's some strong. Damn, Dewars is like some Kool-Aid, ain't it?
They water it down quite a bit.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with Dewars, but they cut it down 80 proof. That right there's got a little heat in it.
Got some heat. You talking about some heat?
You want to try this?
How do you say that? How do you say that word?
Boonahabin.
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 That's German.
It's a Gaelic, Irish,
Irish
or Scottish.
Scottish. Wow. Everyone's... Oh, that's enough.
Okay. All right. All right. All right.
Let me see if I can boot a hottie now. Damn.
Oh, man. You just...
Man, this stuff is more... That is stronger than that one.
You have no idea what you're doing for me.
Oh my goodness.
Emotionally, my heart is so big right now. I feel like the Grinch.
I bet you put a match at the whole thing to blow up.
We've had a couple on. We call them hazard. They're literally, once they get above a certain point, you can't even bring them on a plane. 70% ABV, and they're flammable. So we've had a couple that have been flammable we can't bring on aircraft.
Wow, that's a hell of a...
But it'll light you up.
This Buddha Holland is the... Is the bad boy
18 years old?
18, y'all better don't let it get to 20. That sucker blow itself up.
Ooh. Oh God, I don't even know how to feel about this right now. So I was talking to we had Brendan Schaub in last week. Do you know Brendan Schaub? You know some of these young comedians?
Ooh.
Brendan Schaub. He's Joe Rogan's friend. He's a stand-up comic. He goes. He was here last week at the Improv.
Really.
And I was talking to a few comics about Eddie Murphy making a comeback.
Yeah.
Now,
that's good.
Some of the best stand-up specials, in my opinion, Richard Pryor, Red Fox, You Got to Wash Your Ass is probably one of my favorite all-time stand-up comedies. Red Fox and Eddie Murphy has two that are up there for most people.
Yeah.
You've got to grind. You've got to make those – the general thought process is you've got to go – You got to hit the nightclubs, and do you?
Yeah, well, you know, you got to work the, especially the comedy clubs now.
Do you? I mean, not to paint you into a corner, but do you think Eddie still got it? When's the last time talked to Eddie?
When you working with Eddie, it's funny when they say "and cut," then Eddie, you talking to Eddie, he had you dying laughing.
Yeah.
Oh my God! Here you got it.
I feel like it's riding a bike. I don't think he's going to lose it. I think he.
Oh man, he's. Oh my God, he's.
I think for
hilarious.
Netflix. I think it's for Netflix.
Huh?
I think it's for Netflix. Yeah, I think it's for Netflix.
I wonder where you're going to tape it.
That's a good question.
I wonder, has he been out practicing?
I bet he's so famous, I bet he's been doing drop-ins, where he just shows up and they bump somewhere. Somebody.
Yeah, he told me he might go back and do. I talked to him. I think the last time he and I did a movie, 1,000 Words, I think was the name of the movie, he called me on to come and work on this movie with him. And he said he's going to start doing stand-up. I said, yeah, man, that's great. I said, if you want to, you can come and do a guest set when I'm on in any city you want to. Then he told me he was going to work with Charlie, but Charlie died. But he was going to work with Charlie in some of his places.
Charlie died of pneumonia, right? He had like a...
No, well, he was sick. Charlie had some kind of cancer.
It was kind of a sudden, all of a sudden.
Well, he knew it, but he wouldn't tell anyone.
Sure.
Because I knew on Black Jesus that he was... And Charlie, I said, you look kind of bad, man. You look skinny.
Yeah, skinny. He dropped a lot of weight.
He said that when he eats cake and stuff, and sweets, it affects him real bad. I said, I ain't no cake. You got something else. You better go cap that check. But I never knew that he was.
Sure.
I thought it was just.
That close to the edge?
Did not know it. He's a nice fella. He was a really nice fella, too. Both of them, the whole family good. I knew the cousin. I knew Eddie and Charlie. I had a chance to work with them, both of them. Very professional, very, very funny, very talented.
Well, I got to say one last time that this was fantastic.
I appreciate
you coming out. I'll get a quick picture with you, and we'll see you on your way.
What picture?
We'll see you. Well, no, that's not us. That's Whiskey Pete.
That ain't the guy who made this stuff.
Whiskey. But thank you so much for coming on the show. I appreciate it.
I'm done. I drove all the way over from L.A.
I'll sit with you as long as you want.
I'm just joking.
I drink whiskey. I drink Crown, though. I drink.
Okay, so you're a poor person. Just kidding.
All right. Good night. I'm gonna go do the scotch.
So we did the other show.
I'm
on
go
the,
do the rum neat podcast now. Thank you.
Did someone did reach out to me? Smoking and Toasting guys. I guess. So the main guy from Smoking and Toasting guys named Cruz. He on Facebook they require a last name, so his name on Facebook is Cruz Cruiser. But he was the Rock 101. He was the Rock 101 KOL.
Not very creative.
I know. So, no, he was the Rock 101 KLOL audience, you know, Doug Harris with Noisemaker.
Doug. Yeah. Doug's a friend of mine.
Doug's a very close friend of mine. We're closer than
I
you.
I know him better than you did. I'm just kidding.
No, definitely not. Doug,
definitely not.
Doug is the only reason why I'm still around. But
really?
So, Cruz has a podcast called Smoking and Toasting. And he was like, hey, man, I heard there's going to be a tequila neat. And I was like, what is that about? He's like, yeah, like at Gal, like at ESPN. And I was like, I sent a message. I was like, what's up with this?
He was not.
No, I didn't. I don't mind. I just was like, I was caught off guard. Like,
yeah.
First of all, tequila neat is a clear derivative, right? Yeah. So,
but the guy just has a goatee. And he just wears a baseball cap backwards.
Yeah, it's the exact same look, except this is a patchy black beard.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's a yarmulke. We'll call it that. Whatever we want to call it.
Yeah.
But so I forgot my point. What was my point? Cruz? Audience? Oh, Cruz, you said you were going to go do a different show. Yeah, you're a son of a bitch. So, yeah. Barry, first of all, we have tried to make this happen a couple times.
We have. We really have.
Formally meet you on camera. Yes. Thank you so much.
So nice to meet you for the first time ever.
I'm a huge fan of Barry Lamanek.
Thank you.
You are a local. We've talked about this off camera, but as I've dipped my toes in the comedy inner circles of Houston, you were talked about quite frequently.
Oh,
and that's surprisingly nice. Positive so far.
Really?
Yeah.
You haven't met the right people.
Correct. Probably
okay.
not. Probably not.
Yeah.
So we had Dusty on, and of course, Dusty knows you. That episode was actually supposed to be you and Dusty.
Yes, it was.
And we
like
talked.
The diva I am, I canceled on you.
No, you're not a diva. Totally. You're not a diva like some comedians who say they're going to be here for the whole hour and then at the last minute tell me they're going to.
What?
Shorten the episode.
I don't know what you're talking about.
But,
you're not getting me in trouble.
I don't either. And so you're here this weekend. You're here with first of all, you live here. You have a show here on ESPN.
I do.
The Usual Suspects.
That's correct.
Monday through Friday.
1 to 4 p.m.
1 to 4 p.m.
That's right.
97.5 FM. You have, and we talked off air, you actually have a very popular show.
We do pretty well. Yeah, we do. For some reason, our second and third hour are very popular. If we could just get our numbers up in the first hour, we would be doing pretty well in the city.
How does that work with metrics? You said, so if there's like a point system.
Yeah. So like if you get like a 2.5, right?
What
that means? That means you're getting 2.5% of all the meters that are on
in that market
during that time frame. Right.
And that's good.
That's good. Yeah.
And what's an average?
You know, I'm not sure. I would say on average, like if you're getting a 1.5-ish, you're in the middle of the pack.
Sure.
You know, and so when anytime our show, and it'll be over the 3 hour. So like our first hour is bad, but then our second and third hour are great. So if we could figure out that first hour, we would, you know, we have the opportunity to be the number one show in the city in sports talk, but we just got to figure out that first hour. But it's overall, I think we're fifth or sixth. And the reason is because they take all 3 hours and look at them. So we might have like the best hour.
It might be because it starts at 1.
Right.
So I know that as an adult, as a kid, you always think of 9 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
But as an adult, I know a lot of people who get off at 2:30 or 3.
Yep. Yeah.
And your show starts at 1.
Correct. So people go to lunch from 12 to 1, so they're getting out of their car. So we think now, you know, it could be any number of things. We used to start our show all the time since we're a sports talk show, we would start by not talking sports. And so we consider, well, maybe we should start with sports and get to the non-sports stuff later. So we mix it up. We try to figure out how to get that first hour as good as the second two. I mean, really, for us, we're not doing anything different as far as delivery and how we are as a show. But sometimes it's just weird. You can't control what the meters do.
The show, I think it is as simple as when it starts, which, you know,
mm-hmm.
is not within your control. But
mm-hmm.
you guys, 2.5, you said?
Yeah, I think
that's incredible.
Yeah. Our program director, AJ, said if you guys could pull a 2.0.
AJ Hoffman. He was on
the
show. He was dressed like a douchebag that day. And
so pretty much
every day.
Dressed like he always does.
I love AJ. But
he
came on that show. That episode was like one of our first ones that we saw a lot of traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And all he did was rip into me. And it was.
Of course, that's AJ.
It was great. I loved it.
Yeah,
and then I went home
it.
And I cried about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's how he is.
So immediately, as soon as the camera cameras went off. I broke down.
We've been friends almost a decade. Trust me. I get it. When we do a show together, if I fill in for Fred on the Blitz, sure. It's 3 hours of us calling each other fat. It's just nonstop hate.
Roasting each other.
Yes, for three straight hours.
I think he's down 40 pounds, too. Like, he's down.
Yeah, can you believe that? He's still that fat.
He looks sick.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to go another way.
I was going to go a different direction. So he looks like he spent some time in Africa in the 90s. Like, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. But no, we do good. And our AJ said he's the program director here too. And he said if you guys could just consistently pull a 2-0 in your time slot, you'd be doing great. And we've been doing that ever since he set that goal for us.
Awesome,
so
man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I have no idea, and I don't want to know
what your ratings are.
Let's not talk about it.
Oh, like, I bet
really well on Facebook. We do really well locally. I have no interest in terrestrial radio portion of this.
No,
nah. Unless it's just
all
like,
the money
hey,
is.
Man, we're surprised.
It's not where all the money is.
No, the money is not in terrestrial radio. Literally no money.
Literally I do no it money. For free.
Saying we're on the radio is great.
Yes.
It kind of, when you were pitching the show to someone, it the older crowd who's been doing this for a long time, they're like, oh, you're on the radio.
Yeah. It's clout.
Yeah. Nowadays, what's the radio? It's like, hey, man, I have a CD that's about to drop. What's a CD?
Yeah.
Who gives a shit?
Yeah. No, that's exactly right. It depends on who your market is, what your crowd is, and – yeah,
I'm not a wine guy, but
no.
I'm gonna. Do you like scotch?
Yes.
Are you a bourbon or scotch guy?
Dude, honest to God, I love Crown and Diet Coke, and that is literally all I drink.
Okay, so that being said,
and Bud Light. So you can tell that
you
I am.
Another glass?
I am a trailer park of alcohol.
Sure.
When it comes to the way I drink alcohol, I've tried. Like I've taken the Crown that I have, you know, the different types and tried to drink it straight, and I'm just like, that's just awful.
So it's I know you're a busy man.
Yes.
I will give you tickets to the Houston Whiskey Social.
Okay.
Have you heard about my festival?
I have heard of the Houston Whiskey Social, but I don't know what goes on there. Is it like an orgy or
it definitely ends up that way for some of our guests.
Okay, cool.
But we are talking this year we're expecting 1,500 people, 400 whiskeys. I've got a glass. No, I've got a glass. I appreciate you, Brandon. Brandon, guys, director of digital content. I feel like I've
– He's an VP. Okay guy.
VP of
He's
digital
right.
content.
He's all right.
Don't demote me. Title's all I have.
So, yeah. Are you on the radio?
Cause yeah. That's it. That's all we get. We don't get paid around here. We get paid in titles.
It's a sampling event where you get to do exactly what I'm doing right now.
Okay.
I pour you a sample of something. You learn to drink it neat without water or ice cubes.
Okay.
And
– Now, let me ask you.
Okay.
So, is this – because I tried to drink like Crown and some other whiskeys.
Nothing wrong with Crown?
Nope. But what I realize is that I didn't like the taste of it, right? And then someone I love it with a diet. Like I don't drink regular Coke cuz it's too sweet, but I sure. like adding the Diet Coke to it. It makes I don't know, it changes the taste of the whiskey.
That'll happen when you add Diet Coke to things.
But somebody suggested that I try scotch instead.
With Coke?
No, straight.
Oh, Lord
If Jesus. I was going to drink it neat to try, if I'm just trying to drink something without a mixer.
It'll be the closest thing to your Crown. Yeah, yeah.
So I tried, you know, I think it was Glenlivet or something like that. I liked it. It was
sure.
fine. It was palatable for me. But like just Crown straight was awful.
Yeah.
It was awful.
So it's in terms of rye, it's a Canadian whiskey. A lot of Crown Royal does a harvest rye whiskey as well. In terms of those Canadian whiskeys, they're very light and spicy a little bit. But if you're not used to drinking them straight, they may be a turnoff.
Uh-huh.
This is Tomatin. It's 18-year-old scotch. I don't know the price off the top of my head. I want to say around $100, maybe a little more.
I don't even want to touch it. It's a lot of money.
It's more than they – pay me here.
Yeah. I get paid in exposure. How much? How much exposure bucks is that? I have no idea.
So if you learn to drink whiskey neat.
Okay. You're going to teach me how to drink whiskey today, right?
I'm going to drink whiskey neat. Hence
okay,
the name
good.
Of the show.
Yes.
The trick is to literally ever so lightly let it fall into your mouth, not shoot it.
Okay.
Right? Smooth is a term used where it doesn't burn as much. Smooth is a horrible term. People who are watching, please do not refer to whiskey as smooth. It basically means it doesn't burn when you swallow it too fast.
Okay.
Don't swallow it too fast.
Learn
so
something.
Bring it in, literally. There's like maybe a few drops in my mouth right now.
Really?
It's going to start numbing your mouth, kind of setting the stage.
Mm-hmm.
Let it there. Your mouth's going to start watering, blending with the scotch. And you just swallow. It's very simple, but you can kind of pick up on those honey notes, the sweet, the tasting notes people like to give that sound make them sound bougie and fancy.
Right. I was going to say, I was just going to start yelling things out like, this tastes like leather. This has a very leathery.
Just to start naming things. It's my Cavender's boots.
Yeah. Like, this tastes like a Gore-Tex. This is not bad. This has hints of a.
This tastes like Stetson's cologne from 94.
The aroma has got canoe. I can smell the canoe, the high karate on this.
It smells like 84.
Oh yeah. All right. So
you literally just let a little bit in.
Do I waft it?
You don't have to do that.
Does that make it? Do I pinky up? I don't know.
Sure. Throw the pinky out. Okay. And literally just leave it in the front of your mouth. Okay. So let a little in. Leave it in the front.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to start tingling, a little burn.
Mm-hmm.
It's setting the stage. So moving forward, following sips, you'll be able to drink it easier without it burning or hurting. And then once you let it mellow, then you just swallow it.
Yeah. And so that was much better.
Your mouth is set. You're good to go.
Yeah.
Take larger sips.
I didn't gag on camera. That's good. I was worried I was going to be out. Oh, God.
Yeah. So that's all it is. So you just.
So it's that first sip.
It's that first sip, man.
You said sets the stage.
Sets, no improv puns intended. You We're set learning the stage. Here. And then so at the Houston Whiskey Social, we set up about 75 booths, 400 different whiskeys.
Damn.
And as soon as you get in, you literally just stop at a table. You say, what is that? That looks amazing. Balcones Texas Whiskey, one of the oldest ones in the state. I'll have a pour. They give you a little bit of pour.
Now, a little bit of pour.
About half an ounce.
I feel like this was a lot more than a little bit of a pour. Right?
You won't get that.
No.
I won't get this much when I go to your festival?
No, but you can come back for seconds. Right. Okay. So it's basically, I can't legally advertise that it's unlimited booze, but it's...
Right.
You can safely drink, right?
Okay.
So drink
as much. You're not going to go without.
So you can say, that was fantastic. Can I have another?
Okay.
We are legally required to say yes.
I didn't quite get all the aromas and the tastes.
How much was that? That was $1,000? Okay. I didn't quite. I had shrimp earlier. Could I have another pour? I'm legally required to say yes. By the way, if you're sober and over 21, I have to give you another pour.
Really?
Yeah.
I like this.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I'm going to be there for this.
Yeah,
assuming I'm in town and not on the road.
February
8th,
Saturday.
Oh yeah, I'm not booked in 22. I have one gig in 2020.
Okay.
We're good.
Well, hey, if you get paid, I don't mind you canceling.
Yeah, I'll cancel for sure. Yeah.
So,
all right. Now, do you pair whiskeys with stuff?
I mean, you can.
Food or...
Chocolate's always good.
Okay.
A lot of salt and hams. I don't know if you're a Birico fan, but we're working on getting a couple of ham hocks that they just kind of slice prosciutto off like a marble stone carving.
Really?
Yeah. So you just literally just pump carbs and breads, meats, porks. We'll have a food truck there, and it'll just be your chance to kind of learn how to drink right and kind of – look, there's no carbs, no sodium, no fat, no sugar. No, literally, everything's zero, nutritional value, everything's zero. It's still 90 calories, but it's directly from the alcohol itself.
I was going to say, so the calories
mean nothing, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's literally not all zero. So it's great for the stomach if you're trying to slim down. You know, you drink with AJ Hoffman, you're having beer.
Yeah.
Yeah, AJ's a huge beer guy.
Yeah, he's low class.
Yeah. White trash. Yeah.
That's
how you work for – that's how you become program director.
Listen, he was in Tennessee for a long time. You pick up bad habits. So, sorry to all the Tennessee listeners.
Yeah. No. Well, actually, we do have Tennessee listeners.
Really?
We get,
they have the internet out there? Wow. Good for you guys.
We get they got those AOL discs. They got those AOL 125 hours for free.
Mom's picking up the Cradle modem. Mom, I'm on the interweb.
So we get 18% of our listeners in Houston, and I want to say 20 overall. How does it work? 20 because we get like 20% out of New York for some stupid reason.
Well, New York likes whiskey, obviously.
Let's see here. Audio Boom, right? That's who we use.
It's compelling.
Great content.
Great radio.
Here.
We would never do this on our show.
Yeah.
We would do way worse.
Chris gets stats on
the that's what we do. No, we're like,
great segment.
The problem on our show is we can never remember the names of people. So I'm always like, you know, that receiver with the Jets. And then we'll just for 3 minutes sit there and go,
80% of the U.S.
Uh huh. You got 80% of the U.S.? This is popular.
No, it's not. Who just throwing out numbers? I got a 401.
Yeah.
Whatever
we got
that
a 401k.
We're pulling a 401k. What do you know?
13% in Houston.
We're pulling a 501c3.
No, Nashville. I was looking here. We got Edinburgh in here for some reason.
No. Oh,
we did an episode last week with Irish whiskey, Slain Irish whiskey. So
that's
so
why.
we're getting a little Edinburgh right. bump.
Okay.
Why are you on again? What was the point of this?
I have no idea.
Thanks for coming.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you for teaching me how to drink whiskey. No, this is scotch.
Yeah, that's scotch. Okay. Tomatin scotch. They were a sponsor. We had them for a month. And so Tomatin, and now that they're no longer a sponsor, I can be a little bit honest.
Mm-hmm. Now you're going to be honest.
No. I'd be honest before. Tomatin in the past, like decades ago, they were kind of they sold a lot of their stuff bulk off to blenders like Dewar's and Johnny Walker. Like they were more bulk sourced. They kind of sent their whiskey out to be blended off.
Okay.
But over the past like 5 years, they've been really stepping their game up and releasing super high quality scotch themselves.
Okay.
So I'm saying this as they are not a sponsor. And this specifically, this 18-year-old I opened up at the – we have a board meeting for our whiskey festival. We had it Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
We were so blown away by it. 18 years old, Olorosa sherry casks, fantastic scotch, and it's great to drink straight.
Okay.
So
cool.
Nothing to –
So,
scoff at.
A noob like me, a guy that knows nothing about this, like some schlub that drinks Crown, where you laughed in my face as
nothing
soon as I
Crown?
Said it.
Nothing wrong with Crown?
Nope. You laughed in my face. Oh, look. You can see at the bottom there's words. What's the difference between whiskey and scotch?
It's all recipes, right? So,
okay.
So, you know, in order to make enchiladas, it has to be this set of recipes.
Yes.
Cake is this set of recipes.
Yes.
Scotch is single malt scotch. These particular ones are 100% barley. Bourbon has to be at least 51% corn. It just depends on what the ingredients go in. But the cooking
same,
process
same
is
group,
the same.
Right? Like, yeah.
It's all whiskey.
Okay.
Overall whiskey category.
Gotcha.
And you have subsets, bourbon, scotch.
Yep.
You know, there's even some French whiskey, some Tennessee whiskey.
What is Ripple? I don't
Ripple yeah. Ripple Mints Ripple
no,
Mints
Ripple
what's Ripple
that's what Fred Sanford used to drink.
Oh, that might have been malt liquor.
Are you googling Ripple right now?
Yeah,
Brandon?
Google.
Is no
yeah.
Ripple is not malt liquor.
Hey, fuck you, man.
can we cuss?
You can cuss.
Fuck, thank God.
I just realized what Brandon was saying. Brad was saying Brandon. I'm googling.
Don't worry about names.
Ripple, I think, might have been malt liquor. I loved because I remember when they tried to come up with lyrics for Sanford and Sons. Like there were no lyrics; it was just
the music,
and
which
like,
was great
Fred
music.
Sanford.
By Quincy Jones wrote that.
Fred Sanford had a son; his name was Lamont.
No, I don't remember that. That is
old school. I think Ripple might have been. Is it racist for me to say malt liquor and it not be malt liquor? I'm getting canceled.
Fortified wine.
I never heard of it. 11%. Yeah.
Okay.
So, and you mentioned you like Crown. Crown uh-huh. historically, like Basil Hayden's, very 80 proof. They kind of water it down to the minimum.
Okay.
Nothing wrong with that if it's an introduction to spirits. But traditionally speaking, a little bump in proof is a dead giveaway of more flavor.
Okay.
46% here. This one actually might be less. 46.3, yeah. So it tends to be an indicator of higher quality.
Okay.
The only exception – well, there's a few exceptions, but Balvenie 50-year-old, which is like a $38,000 bottle.
Okay. I don't think we have to worry about me ever.
Yeah. I think it's 80 proof.
Really?
Yeah. They water it down. Well, there's not much left. You take a barrel. You fill it 50 years ago. When you open it 50 years later, there's 10 bottles left.
Really?
All of it just disappears.
That's crazy.
So, I mean, it's fun. And if I had the money, I'd do it just because. But guess what?
That just seems like
I don't
a
have
waste
a two
of $38,000.
It's a huge waste of $38,000. That's.
I just wish I had that $38,000 to waste. That would be.
It would be fun. It'd be a good problem to have. You know, I don't know if you noticed. I don't know if you follow the lottery. But someone in Houston won $23 million the other day. And then someone in Austin, same night, Wednesday night, someone in Austin won $240 million. Texas is doing very well.
Wow.
Got to figure out who it is and offer them some.
Yeah. Sponsorship, right?
So you're not a fan of wine, huh?
No. My wife, big fan of wine. Me, no. I can't. No. I don't like the dryness of wine, I guess would be the.
Okay.
Yeah. For some reason, I don't like the aftertaste, I guess.
So just Crown and Coke?
Crown and Diet and beer.
You go up on stage, you drink before stage?
I drink on stage. Actually, it's weird. I'm very superstitious. So I have certain things that I do, certain clothes I wear. And one of the things that I do now is I always take a Crown and Dietol on stage with me.
What's a Dietol?
Crown and Dietol. Just
Sorry.
Because I want it to last, because usually I'm doing 30 to 45 minute sets. So,
30 to 40, God, it's a lot of pressure.
So I like it because part of it is the superstition in me, but I also use the glass or use the drink as a tool.
Kind of holding it.
I mean, you can actually get an effect from it, like a beat. Like if I say something funny and if I want to do like an aside.
Sure.
As opposed to just looking to the side. You can use the drink, whatever. You know what I mean? So
yeah, but I don't have much to say about that.
Yeah. It becomes a tool on stage as well. So I like having something to drink, and the superstition in me wants Crown and Diet. So.
Sure.
Yeah.
We did the show with Brendan Schaub last week, and he mentioned the first time he killed on stage, Joe Rogan had talked him into doing a shot of Jack.
Mm.
And so now he has to have every show. And then, of course, he posted about it on his Instagram, which, by the way, I got a nice little bump in followers from Brendan.
Oh, he's a great dude. Thanks, Brendan.
Appreciate it, bud.
I got to MC for him when he was here the last time.
Yeah, so I mentioned that. I was great, like, hey, dude, man, the guy that opened for you, I said, so terminology is important, right? So
yeah.
I think I said, I might have even said featured or something, but he was like, oh, the guy was a black guy. I was like, no.
No.
I was like, maybe MC'd. And he was like, oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And then when I told him to come back and see, he was like, oh, yeah, I recognize him immediately. So,
yeah.
He posted on social media about doing this whiskey thing. And of course, it's crazy. The assumption of alcoholism when you just post a little bit about whiskey.
Right.
Even if it's a superstition thing. You know?
Yeah.
So he will only go on stage. He's got to have a drink, got to take a bottle out with him, and it's got a little bit of a tool. Right. So
yep.
It's pretty crazy. And you actually teach a, what would you call it, an improv class?
No, it's a workshop at the Houston Improv. So it's more on comedy, but it's not really me teaching. Like I think I've always been kind of opposed to these people that you'll see that like, I teach comedy. If you're working in accounting, I can teach you to be a comedian.
Do you have a Barry Levinek Instagram page that I can – or a Facebook page that I can
– Barry is funny on everything. Yeah. But no, so what I do is like when I started 6 years ago, there were a lot of headliners in town that I was lucky enough to learn from. And I had good mentors in the business, and – so when I was coming up, I was learning the business from them, and it helped escalate my success, I guess you could say. Not that I'm successful, because I'm not. But it helped me get further along. Like I was hosting shows at a club within a year, which usually takes 2 to 3 years for most comics. I was featuring within 2 years. Most comics don't start featuring until 5, 6 years.
It's crazy.
And I was headlining within 4 years, and most comics it's 8 to 10 years. So it's not because I'm any funnier than anybody else, but I learned the business, and I learned about it on stage and off stage. And
well,
so
Brendan, I think it's 4 years in total. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's,
yeah. He's
got a huge bump. He had a nice little ramp up. You
yeah.
Know?
Yeah. Well, when your mentors are Joe Rogan and Joey Diaz and you know, Bert Kreischer and all those guys, that's going
to
help a lot.
I'm trying to nail down Bert next week. So
that'll be fun.
So Ari's coming in. We're trying to nail down timing.
Mm-hmm.
He's driving in, I think, from Austin or Dallas, and Bert's here. He loves his tour bus. He's doing like Dallas Friday and Houston Saturday.
Oh, really?
He's
doing theaters now, right?
So, yes.
Yeah.
I need to talk to him, and if I get the chance, I'm going to ask. But I don't think Houston does as well for him as other cities.
Really?
Great for Tom.
Yeah.
Apparently Ari's coming. But his last tour, he didn't come to Houston earlier this year. So he's coming to Houston, but he's only coming for one night.
Yeah.
So I'm like, is that saying something? Like, you know, so if I can nail down Bert and Ari that weekend, next weekend, even if I just get Ari, I'm hugely excited. I have so many questions I want to talk to him about. I want to talk to Bert about, because Bert mentored Brendan in a big way. In that episode that aired three days ago, we aired it early because we were excited to get it out. But he talks about how Bert pushed him, like just said, hey, you know, you've got a bit, you've got a story, you're a storyteller. They did a podcast, and then as soon as the podcast ended, he was like, tell me the story. Like, let me hear it. Like, do your bit on me, right?
Right.
And so Bert, Joey, Joe Rogan,
great mentors
huge
to have.
Ramp
yeah.
Up,
right? And I had a guy like Ed Blake. He passed away, but he was one of my mentors. And he would do the same thing, just at a different level. Like, we would do an open mic, and I would have this new joke that I thought was great, and I'd get off stage and be like, hey, that was a good joke. Was that the only punchline you wrote for? And I'd be like, yeah, that was how I wrote it.
Throwing some tags.
And he would say, write 10 more punchlines. Because you learn, usually the first thing you think of isn't the funniest, it's the easiest.
Sure.
And so that's kind of where the craft comes from, is trying to sit down and say, okay, this was the original joke that I thought of, but is it funnier than what I thought of? And so Ed would always be like, write 10 more. Write it 10 different ways.
Sure.
Do all 10 on stage, and you'll find the funniest joke in that. So from the workshop perspective, that's what I'm doing. I'm not teaching as much as I'm passing along everything that I learned.
Sure. And you
to
should.
Comics
I think
that
that's
are always,
your obligation.
Because I don't want to teach comedy. Because there's really no headliners. Like I said, 6 years ago when I started, there were headliners in town that would pull you aside when you did something dumb on stage. We don't have that anymore. There's literally no headliners that are active in the local scene. So when the improv said, hey, we want to do a workshop, I was like, I'll do it, because I don't think anybody else would. And so it's just me kind of passing along the stuff that other people have taught me over the 6 years.
Sure.
So, yeah.
I'm working on something now with my buddies. We did an open mic. And, you know,
What's your best joke?
No.
Give me that
tell
closer.
Tell me now. No, I'm working on something.
I hate when people do that. You're a comedian. Tell me a joke.
Tell me a joke.
I'll be like, what do you do for a living?
How funny was
I'm
it?
I'm an accountant. Cool. Here's my taxes. Do some of them for me. Yeah, I didn't think so.
Yeah, tax law. My grandmother was married to a guy from Barbados or Dominican Republic or something. He's a black guy, right? So we were very religious growing up, and it was Pentecostal, right? So people are dancing. They're jamming out. Everyone dressed up to their – everyone wore a suit, right?
Oh, wow.
And growing up, when I hit those teenage years – my grandmother was like giving me tips, because my mom never went to church. My mom was the black sheep in the family. But every weekend I would go to my grandmother. She'd drag me to church, and she would tell me, like, you need to dress like this. You need to wear this.
Uh-huh.
And she talked me into wearing, like, she's like, oh, you need to wear some Stacey Adams shoes.
Yes.
You need a suit with like bright colors, yes, and many patterns.
You get the yellow or the purple.
Yeah. And so my grandmother was dressing me like
93 buttons down the front.
My grandmother was dressing me like the Kings of Comedy.
Yes.
But I had no idea. She's like, you come to Jesus, you dress for Jesus, right?
Yeah.
And so I had like 5 pairs of Stacey Adams like shoes. And I didn't know.
Do you have any Cavariccis?
I didn't know until much later in my adulthood that my grandmother was dressing me to her husband's, like, you know, and I was getting a little bit of black culture. Like, I had no clue, man. I'm telling you, I was like 2 weeks away wearing cornrows to church. Like,
Oh, God.
It was like this perfect me being completely ignorant to fashion, and then my grandmother having a preference.
That's so funny.
It was
so you talk about that on stage?
I want to tell the story on stage, but I haven't worked it all out yet.
So you should, because, like, when I grew up in high school, all of my friends were black. And
sure.
So when I first started, you learn, they tell you to talk about what you know.
Sure.
Talk about how you were raised. So that was one of the things I wrote about and talked about, was being the only white guy around a bunch of black guys, and how that affected me, and have my perspective on it and their perspective on it. So that's what it is it's just talking about what you know. The key when you're telling stories in comedy on stage is, a lot of people think, and this happens in the workshop, people ask, well, I'm a storyteller. So, because I'm always saying, hey, look, you should be trying to get a laugh every 15 seconds.
Sure.
And they're like, yeah, but I have this great story that the laugh at the end. I'm like, yeah, but nobody wants to sit through 5 minutes for one laugh.
Sure.
Just go do poetry.
Yeah. They want the build up.
Yeah. I mean, comedy, our job is to make people laugh consistently throughout the show. If there's a 30 second to a minute lull where you're setting up the story, great. But you should still, even in a story, be trying to get a laugh. And it's real easy. I mean, it's not easy, but write the story out, and then you think, all right, leave a space in between each sentence of the story. So write a line and leave a line. Write a line, leave a line. And then in every other line is where you add the funny.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
See where
some
you
tags,
can add the
yeah,
funny. Yeah. And that's kind of one of those things you do when you start storytelling. Like, I do my closing bit now. I just started closing with it as a 5-minute story about me getting an ultrasound on my balls. And it really wasn't – there was like 2 funny things that happened, But
what was it
developed
for?
This. Well, the doctor found a lump.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so I had to go.
Those are my balls.
Yeah. That's what he was like. You got to get an ultrasound. And I was like, all right. So I went and.
Everything good?
Yeah. No, we're cool. We're so cool. It's super funny. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's. But like, but the telling of the story, you know, people, part of the problem with storytellers is we get married to the truth. The truth sure. isn't usually funny. So you have to exaggerate the story. And but it can totally be done, and it can and it start off with a short version of it, and then the more you tell it, the more it'll grow.
All right, so we've got to go. We've gone way over.
Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you coming.
Appreciate you.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Lots
for sure.
To edit out, and cheers.